Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Amen. I'm not going to go right deeply into all of the meanings and all the rest of it, but I want to talk to you about having faith like a mustard seed. Faith like a mustard seed. Amen. In Luke chapter 17, I'm going to be reading from verse 1 to 6. But let's pray just as you're gathering your materials, you're opening your smartphones and your Android devices and your Bibles and whatever it is that you've got. But let's pray. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, we want to thank you, God, that your grace enables us to be in the right position with you so that we can receive everything that you've promised us, that we can respond in the right way to everything that you've promised us, oh God. Lord, I pray that we would know what it is that is required of us so that we can put that into practice within our lives, because your promises are true. Who you are, who you've revealed yourself to be, is true. And Lord, as we stay on that, as we stick with that, as we don't move away from that, then there is a result that comes from that. Holy Spirit, you're very welcome in this place to do what it is you want to do. Confirm promises, confirm your word to people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 17, verse 1. We're going to read down to verse 6. It says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, there will always be temptations to sin. Woo! Some people are curling their toes up right now. There will always be temptations to sin, but what sorrow awaits the person who does the tempting? It would be better to be thrown into the sea with a millstone hung around your neck than to cause one of these little ones to fall into sin. So watch yourselves. In other words, he's saying, do your absolute best not to be the cause of problems for others. Amen. How many of you know that sometimes when we fall away from our connection with God, when we start disbelieving, becoming discouraged, that sometimes we can step out of that perfect place that we hold with God in his presence, and we can start getting a little bit frayed at the edges. And some people panic. And I don't know about you, but I don't think that this is time for you to panic. If you've received the promise and your promise hasn't come to pass yet, don't panic. Have you ever seen someone drowning? Maybe not, hopefully, in reality, but maybe on TV. You know, one thing that we have in our day and age is that we have TV, we have movies, we have stuff. Sometimes I think that's a good thing. Sometimes I think that's a really bad thing, in that we can experience things now that can affect our soul just by watching something on the screen. Oh, you ain't catching this. We get desensitized to certain things by watching murders. Come on now. Watching madness, you see a movie, and now they're ultra real, aren't they? You see TV programs where people's necks are bleeding and people's arms are off and people are getting murdered and they're frightened. That feeds something in us. Do you not realize that? That's why you have to be so careful what your children watch. Huh? Because you can be having experiences that you would never have in your own physical life, secondhand, but that still has an effect on your soul. Right? Come on now. Come and help me out. Huh? Right? And when someone, I saw someone drowning on a TV program, and this person was going under, and someone was trying to rescue them, and as they were going under, they started to panic. And what they tried to do is they tried to grab a hold of the person, and they were trying to pull them under as well. Are you with me? Yeah, yeah. This is a kind of picture of this, that sometimes that People are tempted to sin. There's temptation to move away from God's perfect best for your life. And you don't see the promise anymore. And instead of fighting against the sin, instead of holding fast to what it is that you know, instead of trusting in the God who started things in your life and is faithful to complete things in your life, all of a sudden people start to panic. And in their panic, they start to try and drag someone else down into their own madness and their own sickness. And he's saying, don't do that. Are you with me? Do not do that. Do not be a cause of problems for someone else. Then he goes on in the next verse. He says, if another believer sins, rebuke that person. Oh. This is not just for the pastors. This is for you and your brother or your sister. Come on now. If you see someone messing up, you got to go to them. And instead of hiding it, right? In which case, you become part of it. And in God's eyes, you're just as bad as the one who's doing it. Then you have to turn around and you have to say, what are you doing? That's not God's will. Now, I know that this could be taken to an extreme and people can go around rebuking everyone. Skirt's too short. Your trousers are too skinny. You know what I mean? You're looking in the mirror too much. What's the matter with you? You got lipstick on? Huh? If one of my pastors had lipstick on, I'd rebuke him. Amen. But come on, man. Don't take it to the extreme. But you've got to watch out for each other. Can someone say amen? That's what it means by being a church. You're a community of people that help each other out by watching out for each other. Oh, you ain't catching this. He says, then if there is repentance, forgive. Come on now. Forgive. Welcome them back in. Huh? It's like you have a sheep in a flock of sheep, and one sheep has got the sheep lurgy, the sheep plague, the sheep virus, whatever it is, right? And it's catching. What does the shepherd do? Quarantines the sheep, right? But then he's not going to kill the sheep because no one wants to eat a diseased sheep. He wants to heal the sheep. Then once the sheep is healed, you bring it back into fellowship with the rest of the flock. Come on now, right? He says, even if that person wrongs you seven times a day and each time turns again and asks for forgiveness, you must forgive. Are you with me? Forgiveness is a perfect thing. We've been forgiven perfectly. The finished work of the cross of Calvary. Jesus, I've been this last week, right? I've been doing an MA intensive, a master's, for my master's degree. And it's been in biblical holiness. So I've got some deep stuff, man. Huh? But one of the things that it talks about is perfection. And sometimes we think of perfection as performance. Right? That we have to be perfect to be accepted. But the opposite is actually true. We've been accepted because of the perfection of Jesus, so now live like it. Are you with me? You've been forgiven, now live like it. You've been accepted, now live like it. You're part of Jesus Christ and his body now, so live like it. It's about your identity releasing everything else in your life. And there's no excuse for this messing around, but we also don't have to be naive. Some people say sorry, but they don't mean nothing by it. Huh? Some people say sorry because they got caught, but their actions don't change. Huh? But then there are people who make changes. And even if they're struggling at first to maintain what it is they know that they need to be doing, but they're not doing it, then forgiveness and acceptance should be given. Bring them in, draw them in, help them out, help a brother out, help a sister out. But if they refuse to make any changes, then let them go off and do their little thing and reap the consequences. But don't cover up for someone who's sinning, because that makes you a sinner. Sometimes in Victory Outreach, we have a lot of people that come from the street life. Not as many as we used to when we were smaller. Amen. But even still, someone comes from the ends. You ain't gonna give no one up, right? You're taught, you're trained. I was brought up on the streets. I was taught, you know, you don't snitch, you don't grass, you don't tell on someone else. But in the men's home, when I was in the men's home, I had to come to an understanding that I'm not helping my brother. See, if I'm in prison or I'm on the streets or I'm in a gang, then I'm helping my brother stay free by not telling on what he's doing. But in the kingdom of God, the script gets flipped and things turn around. Now I'm not helping my brother by not saying something. Are you with me? But go to them first. This is where Christians fall short. Sometimes they think, well, the brother's sinning, the sister's sinning. Pastor, look at this. And I want to look at it. Go back and speak to, have you spoke to them first? Until you've spoken to them, don't come and speak to me. Are you with me? I'm kind of the last resort. You go and speak to them first, Matthew chapter 18. If they don't listen, take someone else. If they don't listen, then you tell me. Do you understand what I mean? But this is the community how it's played out. But don't cover it up. Huh? But if someone is really repentant, forgive them, bring them in. Are you with me? Huh? Then the apostles said to the Lord, check this out. On top of all this, then they start talking about faith. They said, show us how to increase our faith. Huh? And to do this is actually not a natural thing to do. You don't kind of increase your faith in a natural way. Amen. This is a spiritual thing. And the Lord then answered them. I love how Jesus works. He said, if you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, he was talking about a tree, may you be uprooted and thrown into the sea and it would obey you. Huh? When many people think about faith, you've got to understand it's a belief and a conviction about God through his word. It's about God through his word, his revelation of himself, right? That's the foundation. That's the basis. It's not your feeling. Well, I feel like I got a lot of faith today because in the worship it was good. No, man. What about when you're sick and you don't feel good and you don't want to get up and your body's hurting and your body's aching and you've received a bad report from outside? Do you still have faith in the God that revealed himself to you? Because where is your foundation? This faith changes your life. It changes the way you are. It affects your character and your will. It deals with your desires so they line up with God's holy character. You got to get yourself in line. I watched a movie the other night about Turkish special forces soldiers in Turkish. Check it out. I was mangled. I just sat down after all these studies, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours a day, 90 hours reading, doing seminars, doing this, doing that. I had to take a seminar, lead a seminar with master students and two professors in the room. You have to prepare, you have to tick boxes, you have to do all this. And it was an hour each way to get in there and back. I was mangled, so I watched the film in Turkish. Just there like that. But man, it was tremendous. These Turkish special forces soldiers were in Syria, and they were or Syria and Iraq, and they were rescuing a Turkish journalist that ISIS had kidnapped. And then they defended this village. It was amazing. It was tremendous. But one of these dudes, he was an educated dude. He was, he was clever. He was a trained historian, but he was working in the special forces. And he was there, and they were shooting these ISIS dudes, right? And this journalist said to this guy, she said to him, have you killed anyone? And he was like, what sort of question is that to ask? You know what I mean? And he never said nothing. She said, how does it feel? And he said something key. He said, it's not a feeling. It's a stain. Woo! It ain't a feeling, it's a stain. Sometimes these things go beyond feelings. You have to understand, our feelings need to get in line with God. Your feelings need to get in line with your faith. Are you with me? Because there's a lot of people know that they should be in the house of God, but because the sun's out, because they're tired, because their family maybe want to go out and do something else, or because they can't be bothered because they're not feeling like it, they don't turn up. Then they think they can just get by watching it online. And if you can't make it to church, we have people watching us online from different countries around the world. Amen. And we welcome you if you're watching online from a different country around the world. But if you're watching this online and you should be here today because you live in Manchester or its surrounding environment, then don't be lazy. There's only so much you can get virtually. Are you with me? Because all the isolation stuff ain't even biblical. That's Western mentality. It's a Western, modern, postmodern, information age, selfish, sinful mentality. And it has nothing to do with the Bible or the God of the Bible, faith, church, and community. Nothing. Faith pleases God when we live by faith, when we live according to His ways and His will, and when you keep going based on His promises, whether you see them or not. Usually when you think of faith, it's about salvation, it's about miracles. And we have to remember that salvation is the biggest miracle. Salvation is about freedom. And real faith in Jesus produces real freedom in us because that's what forgiveness enables. But let's get back to this mustard tree thing. So I think there's some of you going to catch something from this today. This tree was a type of mulberry tree. In the King James Version, it's called the sycamine tree. And it grew its fruit on short stems along the trunk and large branches, not at the end of twigs as in other fruit-bearing trees. And the fruit is like a fig, but it's a little bit bitter. Figs, you know, have you ever had figs? Right? It's a little bit like that, but it's bitter. And only the poorer classes could eat them. Rich people wouldn't be eating this fruit. It was a poor class thing. And the thing is, it's easy to plant. You just have to insert one of its branches in the ground and water it until it's struck its roots into the soil. And it does this with great rapidity. It happens quickly and it goes down very, very deep. Now in this passage, Jesus is calling his disciples to avoid bitterness. Avoid unforgiveness. And embrace the freedom of forgiveness. Some of you know some of these things, when you've been promised something, when you've seen something, but you don't see it happening around you, you start to panic. You start to compromise. You start to come in line with your feelings and with the way that other people are operating. And some of these things can come and they can strike deep roots very quickly in our lives. Help me out. Huh? So Jesus uses this to illustrate problems, things that cause bitter roots to sink into our hearts and suck life from us. And it was in reference to this latter thing that the Lord selected it to illustrate the power of faith. See, we live in a fallen world. Right? We live in a world that is opposed to God's will and God's ways. That fallenness takes its position in its aggressive, right? Things come against us aggressively. There's aggression, like sickness and disease and the fact that things come against you, people come against you, we're spoken bad of, etc. Aggression. But then there's also that thing called attrition. You know, the little things that sap you. The little things that get you to focus somewhere else. That get you to forget the promise. The little worldly seeds that get inside. The little things that start to grow up around you. Come on now. The needs and the cares of the world and its riches. And these things start to suck away from our faith. Has that ever happened to anyone? You ever received the promise from God and you're there and the promise is good and the promise is great when everything's good and everything's great. But when things around you are not as good and not as great anymore, where is the promise of God? Is that thrown in the garbage? Or is that covered? Is that twisted? Is that pulled down and taken away? Because sometimes in life that can happen, right? And you can put your own thing to this. Marriage, children, jobs, cars, houses, holidays, you know, positions, whatever, whatever, whatever. They're all these things. They're all relevant. But if we let the negativity of it sink down into our hearts and be rooted within our lives, then all of a sudden, we stop living in faith. Sometimes we get hurt, someone's action, a word dealt by a friend. You get misunderstood. Sometimes as a parent, you're misunderstood by your children. Sometimes as a child, you're misunderstood by your parents. Sometimes your relatives don't understand what you're doing or why. Sometimes a co-worker will say something. Huh? Children, you're in the children's ministry. You're in, you know, you're in the home, you're in the children's ministry, you're an usher. Someone comes in, hi, how are you doing? They look at you like, yeah. We'd like to invite you to sit here. Why?
I want to sit.
Huh? In the children's ministry, you're there and you're working and people drop their kids off and sometimes their kids mess up. And you go back and you tell the parent, listen, you know, I've had a bit of a problem with your child. And the parent gets on you. My child's like an angel. And inside, you're thinking, so was Satan. I don't mean nothing, man. Ain't about being like an angel. It's about being like Jesus. Huh? And we have all these things, and it's easy to get upset. It's easy to hold a grudge. It's sometimes without even recognizing it. It's easy to start getting disappointed, discouraged. Huh? And then what happens? You stop turning up. You look for an excuse. Ooh. Man, I've been through this 23 years in cycles. I've seen it come and I've seen it go and I've seen things go up and I've seen the promises of God poured out and I've seen people receive their promises. I've even seen people receive prophetic words and the next thing, they've left. They've gone back. They're not around anymore. They're not in the game. Are you with me? Someone said to me once, Pastor Paul, how comes you are where you are, doing what you're doing? And I say, I just outlasted all the other people because God promised me and I believed him. And I just kept holding on to the promise through thick and through thin and through dark and through light and in good times and bad, in the valley and on the mountaintop. I'm just holding on to the promise of God. But you know how many people, my peers, people around me, whoo, that got even more promises than I did. You know, I've only ever had like 2 or 3 prophetic words over my life in all my time. Some people get more prophecies than the Bible. It's like, wow, man. You got even as many, you nearly got as many promises as Abraham. And, you know, wow. But have you got faith? So what happened to promise? But do you have faith? And what happens when people come around you and they start getting in the way? Do you forgive them? Do you release them? Do you deal with it right? Or does that become a root of bitterness that strangles that promise and pulls you down and keeps you back and stops you bearing the right fruit? The pain can be real. The bitterness might be justified by the action against you, but it's not biblical to hold a grudge. Huh? And it's an attitude and a behavior that you have the choice to continue to hold on to or throw away. You know, your joy is not someone else's. It's not in someone else's responsibility or power. How you have joy. Come on now, that's down to you. Huh? Some people, especially in this country, I know, when the sun's out, people don't turn up to church. Sun's out. What? That means that if you were living in a sunny country, you wouldn't be saved. You'd never go to church, right? Were you a sun worshipper? What sun are you worshipping? Huh? These things, man, get in the way. But your joy, your position, we have a responsibility. You know, I learned something really key. There's a book coming out. I forget the author, but it's coming out. It's about giving gifts. And in the ancient societies, right, we think now when you give a gift, you're doing someone a favor, right? You're giving them a gift for their birthday, you know, or whatever. You're doing them a favor. You don't expect nothing back. It's a gift. I'm giving it to you. Do what you want with it. And our mentality in our Western society can think that that's how it is with God. We've been given the gift of grace, and therefore we can just go away and do what we want with it. You know, there's no obligation. But in the ancient cultures that it was written in the Bible, a gift had an obligation attached to it. That if someone gave you a gift, then somehow in the hospitality rules, you were obligated to respond to that. Woo! So God gives you grace, so you then have to put something in place. You're then responsible. God gives you a promise. Then you gotta keep going. You gotta keep walking. You gotta keep believing. You gotta keep giving. You gotta keep serving. You gotta keep until that promise becomes a reality. Because sometimes in Christianity in the West, I think what we do is we receive these gifts from God, and sometimes we don't like what it is that He's given us. So we'll recycle it and just give it back to someone else. Like some of you do with Christmas presents. Huh? Random stuff that you get from people, bath salts and all that, and soap, and you know, things that you get from TK Maxx for a fiver in the, you know, off the shelf that did have 25 quid on it, but now it's gone down to a fiver because no one wanted it because it's useless. And then you give it to someone, just say it looks like you've given them something, and they look at it and they go, oh, thank you so much, and then they go back and they say, what is this? And then they give it to someone else. And I used this as an illustration the other day, and someone said, yeah, but you got to remember who it was that gave it to you. And I said, why? I said, if you give it back to the same person, then they're getting punished. This tree was used by Jesus as an example. He had a thick trunk. His branches grew from it only a few feet from the ground. Its roots were thick. Its roots were as thick as its branches and went deep, and it was almost impossible to dig up something like that. And there are some things that happen in life that if we allow them to plant themselves in us, they're going to grow roots really deep, and they're going to produce a bit of fruit. When you've been rejected, this can end up spelling out into every situation, every relationship you've ever had or you ever have. When you failed a few times, you can hold yourself in that place that you start to identify yourself as being a failure. We see this a lot. Huh? You start to believe that it's not just something that's happened, but that it's who you are. Failure is an event. You don't have to own it as being of yourself. But the deepest root is when you've been wronged. When unforgiveness digs its way deep into your soul and you can't or won't let it go. But that's your responsibility, man. Are you with me? Huh? And these things become barriers to you being able to complete God's will and to receive the promises that He has. They slow you down. They hinder your progress in the kingdom of God. And this is where faith comes in. See, what Jesus was showing us is that even a tiny measure of real faith is going to give you the ability to win the victory over all of the problems that take root in your being. They can uproot certain things, certain different ideologies and identities that come into your life that stop you being able to live in the way that you were promised to live. And I don't know about you, but this is true in church today as it was back then. That we get to a certain point when the promises of God come upon us, but other things crowd in, other things come in, other temptations come in, other people come in, and what it is that should happen is not what the reality is that is happening in our lives. That instead of flowing into the fulfillment of the promises, we get tangled up with all this other stuff. Now, there is a really big difference between speaking about your problem and speaking to your problem. And one of the biggest problems is that a lot of people speak about their problems to everyone else. I have a problem with this person. I have a problem with the church. I have a problem with the pastor. I have a problem with that brother. I have a problem with that sister. I have a problem with this and I have a problem with that. And you just, what you're doing is you're just sharing your problem with everyone else. You're multiplying the problem. Now everyone else is messed up. Huh? Just shut up. Speak to it, not about it. The only time you speak about it is if you're speaking up to someone that can speak into it. But don't speak down to other people about it. Sometimes even your peers can't help you out. Because sometimes you might have a problem and they're trying to cover it up for you out of some misplaced sense of loyalty instead of trying to help you deal with it. But where are you with it? Where are you with your problem? Where are you with the challenge? See, you have to speak to it in faith based upon the revelation of God to you and the promise that he gave you. Huh? Speaking about your situation to everyone but God will magnify it in your mind, and also it will release it into their minds, and then the problem starts to look bigger and bigger and bigger than it really is. And then you start mountain climbing over a molehill. Well, someone said this, and this happened, and that happened. And the next thing is like, I'm not coming to church no more. Stop it. What's the matter with you? I'm not doing this no more. I'm not praying no more. I'm not giving no more. I'm not reading my Bible no more. You watch. Huh? No. But speaking to your situation from a place of trusting God keeps things in their proper perspective. See, faith is trusting in the nature of a faithful God. He will do what he said he would do. Without faith, you'll never fully understand that God can forgive you completely. Forgive you completely. Come on now. How many of you want to be forgiven completely? That your past is gone. Huh? You don't have to worry about your past when you come into Christ. Wherever you were, you don't have to be anymore. Whatever you did doesn't necessarily have to have the power over you that it did. You've been redeemed. That word redeemed, that word redemption comes from that cultural look at slavery. That a slave was owned by their master. Check out how deep this is when it talks about slavery to sin. That means that if you were a female slave and your master wanted to have sex with you, you had to have sex with him. Woo! If you were a male slave and your master asked you to go and kill someone, you had to do it. Or to die, you had to do it. That is the power of slavery. But then Jesus came in and he paid the perfect price. He made the perfect sacrifice to redeem us from slavery. But here's the thing. Then the power of it isn't yours anymore. Then someone can come up to you and say, go and do this. And you can say, no, I don't have to because I'm a free man. I'm a free woman. I'm not under the power of it anymore. Without faith, you can never understand that God can forgive you completely, love you forever, deeply, set you free from whatever and whenever, heal you inside and out, hold you and never let you go, teach you how to live free and enable you to represent Jesus truly on this earth. And these things can happen because faith accesses God's grace, and God's grace opens the door for all these things and more to become a reality in your life. So Jesus said, they said, how can we increase our faith? What can we do about all these things that have been taking place around us, that are holding us back, that we're bothered by, that we've got problems with, that are stopping us from being who it is that we want to be? And he said, you've got to speak to it based upon what I say. Not based upon what you feel, not based upon anything around you, but based upon the Word of God. So my question to you is this morning, because it seems as if there's a crossroads and there's a point in time that we've reached as a church where there are many individuals in the church that possibly have looked at the promises that God has given them and looked around at the circumstances and situations around them and have started to fray at the edges. Maybe they've started to panic. It's okay. It's all right. Don't panic. God is with you. If he said it, he'll do it. Hold on to him. And then speak to the situation and remind it. I've heard a different message. I've got a different promise than the one you're promising me. Because everything else around you is promising you something different to the promise that God gave you. And if that's the case, what voices do you ignore? I want to pray for people today. I want to actually pray for people. I want to lay hands on people here in this place. Because I believe that that prayer of agreement, as we touch and we agree, is going to reinforce something within your life. Are you with me? Now, I have no special powers. I'm not a magician. I'm not going to make you disappear, pull a rabbit out or anything like that. But I think in our response, as we come and we start to say, because I know that there's some of you, I really sense, as your pastor, I sense that there are people that have been struggling with the promise that God has given you. There's been a fraying. And we want to reinforce the promises that God has given you. Because there's going to be a time when you step into that promise. It's going to happen suddenly. It's going to happen outside of your ability. And you are then going to know. You're going to look back and you're going to go, thank God that there were people around me that told me what I needed to hear. That there were people around me that helped me when I was going through stuff and I felt alone. Because a church is not about isolation. It's not about individualism. It's about community. That's why you come. That's why you're involved. That's why it's no good being a Lone Ranger Christian. It's not even biblical. God doesn't like it. He doesn't want it. That's not what he wants. You don't get blessed by being individual in your Christianity. You get blessed when you're part of the community. Because then we can agree. We can, you know what? You got this thing in front of you, speak to it and I'll help you. That in that joining together, let's get that thing out of the way. Let's deal with that situation. Let's deal with that opposition. Amen? Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand to our feet. And I want to do business for a minute. I want to do business for a minute. Sometimes God gives us these big concepts. He gives us all of this stuff, but then sometimes he hones right into the personal place within our lives. If anything that has been spoken about today has touched you, blessed you, spoke to you, I want you to come and we want to pray for you. The next service, we're going to be talking about something completely different, but right here, right now, in this moment, I really believe that God wants us to speak into this situation, to pray into this situation.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.